Shall we just begin with a word of prayer before we start our next sessions? Our God and Father, we continue to ask thy help as we open thy word and as we seek to lay ourselves open before thyself, that the Spirit may take thy word and show it to us, that we may have listening ears, open hearts to receive thy word. And we pray that as we go through these practical questions, that our hearts may be open to thee, and that we may be subject to thy word and subject to thee. And so we just ask for help and guidance upon all that we do for the rest of this afternoon, as we have had thy blessing to now. We commit ourselves into thy hand for the guiding of the Holy Spirit in everything we do, as we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Perhaps we could read our verses in Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So we continue in our practical part of this epistle, and I've entitled this Living the Calling. We've already spoke about our life in this world and our life as husbands and wives, and here we come to a practical matter of families and work. Something which is every day, which we're involved in. We come to the meeting like this, we come to conferences for a few hours, a few days maybe in the year, but for the rest of the while we're engaged in our normal business. We can be at home with our family, we can be at work, earning our living. And there, the question is whether we are living out these real principles, these wondrous truths that we have in this beginning of Ephesians. And before I go any further, in case I forget, I'd just like to say, you know, we are talking about serious things. We have looked at some very amazing truths at the beginning of the book. And if these things are going to be really mean something to us, we have to individually, on our own, before the Lord, face up to them, go over them, meditate upon them, ask the Lord to show them to us. And you look at those things in chapter 1 and going on into chapter 2 and chapter 3, those wondrous blessings that God has given, and before the Lord, ask him to show them to us that we may work them out in our lives, in prayer and meditation before him. Just face up to what he really has done for us and the real marvel of these blessings. And when we think of those things, then we think of what our response should be and how this should work out. So, taking up this chapter 6, we come to some very, very practical things. We've spoken about husbands and wives, and in some ways I was just wondering how much Rusty was going to venture into chapter 6, talking about parents. Well, I don't think he took too much of my ground. But here we have, in our everyday lives, we're living under new authority. We have this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And Simon spoke about Paul, who was a prisoner in the Lord. And so we have to come to this decision that Christ is our Lord. And we can only do that as we think of who he is and what he has done for us. And then we, in practical realization, that we are dead. That we, the old us, is finished with. Now only Christ should be living in us. Then we can live out these good works for which we are created in Christ Jesus. We spoke in chapter 2 of what we were. Then we had our conversation in the lust of the flesh, doing what the flesh and the thoughts will to do. But then later on, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so here we have how these good works work out in our practical everyday lives. And the family is a very... We have four subjects here, and perhaps I'll just go on to the next slide. Talking about the Lordship of Christ, we have four subjects. We only have half an hour, but we have four subjects. But thankfully, we don't have too many verses to look at. And I want to especially go through these first two, children and parents, because we're all been children. Many of us here are parents. Some would aspire to be parents. And these are things that we know about. Every day we live in families. God has given us this wonderful blessing of living in families. And this is where we work these things out. Now I would like to read something in the calendar, Our Lord is Near calendar, which you can get on your computer every day if you haven't got a printed copy. R.K. Campbell wrote an article on the 14th of November, and perhaps you'd like to check it out for yourself, talking about when Israel had light in their dwellings, in the family. And I'd like to read the last part of this portion where he speaks about the practical working out of family life. And he says this, talking about the dark world in which we live and what the family is like in this situation. And he says, thus, in the mutual care of the family members one for another, and in the daily exercise of practical self-denial, the natural heart's detestable selfishness may be checked and frustrated. And then the family relationships of obedience and love, and the daily practice of submitting one to another, which these relationships necessitate, wholesomely counterbalance that root sin of all mankind's evil, self-will and disobedience. So there, R.K. Campbell speaks about some of those things that are necessary for family life to be realized as it should be under God. That exercise of self-denial. And Rusty's mentioned about being submissive one to another, which is something which we have to put into practice in the husband and wife relationship, but also is for our exercise in the family and also in other spheres also. So we start off with children. And we ask two questions. Obedience, why? This chapter starts off not with any therefores we've had before or for this, or it just starts off children. So we've got to the end of the epistle nearly, and here we have children. And then it says, and ye fathers. And then it says servants, and then masters. By the time we've got to this passage at the end, we should understand that these are instructions from the Lord to us. And if we have grasped something of the blessings that God has given us in Christ, then we should be ready to listen to hear his word. When Paul was on the Damascus road and he saw that light from heaven, and we've thought about heavenly blessings that Paul had that realization of, he saw the Lord on that Damascus road, that tremendous light. And he said those words, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was ready to listen. He was ready to obey. And so when we grasp something of what God is and what the Lord Jesus is and what he has done for us, then we come to these scriptures. We are ready to listen. Children, obey your parents. And it goes on to say, honor thy father and mother. Now we know that when we look at family life today, the media, all that we see all around us, and we we need to be careful that we're not too exposed to the world around us, because it is pumping images at us that are not helpful for Christian living. But when the media wants to sell something to us, it shows a beautiful family, usually one husband and a wife and two children, a boy and a girl, all looking happy and sweet and nice, and daughter looking up into mum's eyes, and a beautiful background, and this is how it portrays family life. But in its stories, in its plays and soap operas and things, it gives a completely different image of everybody trying to get their own better over everybody else. Where we have the cross look, and we have the slam door, and we have kids going out the door and grabbing their coat and shouting something back at their parents. And we have families in disarray, everybody trying to get their own advantage over the other. And this is the world in which we live. And therefore we need to be sure that we're not exposed to that kind of image. Because God wants something better for us. The blessing of a Christian family. Or the blessing of us living as a Christian in a family. Whether that be a Christian family or not. Now we have many scriptures which tell us of that God wants us to honour our father and mother. The scripture here records that God gave a promise with this when he gave the law that they would live long in the earth. It was the first commandment that had a promise. It was important to God. And we have the parallel passage in Colossians, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. We have the evidence of the breakdown of this world, where we see disobedience to parents coming in all around us. And there were some very serious things said in Deuteronomy about those that rebelled against their parents. God has made it clear what his will is, and we need to take God seriously at his word. I seem to have a blockage. Right. Okay. Obedient to parents. So there we have in this one, the father and mother brought in. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So we have father and mother. And we are, as children, to obey our parents. Not to work one against another. Not to try to listen to whichever is the easiest path. And we'll try and get round one and get round the other. No, we are to obey our parents as one. It's God-given authority. Right? It's not something to get one over. It's God-given authority. It's God's order in creation. And that is what God has laid out. And what a wonderful thing it is when it's put right. We've heard about husbands and wives. What a blessing it is when it's in God's order. And here it's God's given authority. So we do well to be very careful when we say no to God's authority. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were given one commandment and they disobeyed. Children, you are given one commandment in the scriptures, to obey your parents. It's God's authority. We know the world cannot obey this, but as Christians we have the Holy Spirit, as Jeff was talking to us about, and we can carry this out with his help. God's order is for a reason. Children are children. And so God has placed these things there for a reason. It's a simple principle. They know where they stand. They are still immature. They know where they stand. So therefore God gives us a clear framework. It's also a solid foundation. You know, children are still learning. Parents have had some more experience. And so God has put it, the parents take the responsibility. And children can get on with living and growing up. All they have to do is obey what their parents say. It's God's goodness to us. It's God's order. And it's a blessing. We see children around us who have no order to their lives. They don't know where they stand. They don't know what mum wants them to do, what dad wants them to do. They don't know what they can get away with. They try as far as they can. And they don't have any framework. We need a framework. God has brought that in. And it's very healthy. We can have love one another, if our children obey. We can love them. How rich it is when God's order is in place. Love can flourish. We must press on. And it's a training environment. The reason that children to obey their parents is because the parents are given responsibility to bring children up for Him. They're given a responsibility under God, the God who gives us children. He gives us us with our responsibility to bring them up for Him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are told here, especially to fathers later on. But it's a training environment, a framework for growing up so that children will eventually become mature. Mature not only in natural things, but mature in the things of God. To value those things so they can grow up to become independent, to take their own decisions, and to be here for God, and to live their lives in a mature way. And that's why children are in this situation. And of course, we know that there is a progression. And as our children grow older, so they get more responsibility until they're able to take their own decisions and come to value things that are of true value and be able to have children of their own to impart those things on. These are responsibilities of life. Life is not a picnic, you know. We're here for a reason. And if we have children, we might want to get married, and it's a wonderful thing, and be carried away with all the tremendous feelings and everything. But family life is a big thing. Rusty was talking about we leave our father and mother. We take on the responsibility of a wife. We take on the responsibility of children. It's a responsibility, but it's a responsibility which is really worthwhile. It really pays dividends, you know. My daughter told me last night not to say anything embarrassing. I'm not going to say anything embarrassing. But one of my sons, and I know all my children, he said to me last night, "Dad, I'll be praying for you." And that really means something when you know your kids are praying for you. You know, that they've grown up. They're not children anymore. They're able to value things that are of value. So children, get on your knees before the Lord and see how it works out. This is what the Lord wants us to do. To practically realize Christianity. And we must pass on because I have a lot of slides and I'm going to have to go through quickly. But now it comes down to me and, well, fathers. And Rusty did mention that fathers are not really thought much of in the world today. But God has placed fathers in this position of responsibility and authority. In the family, because God's order and framework is the best. And that's where it works. And God has placed us in that position. And we have to take it seriously. And we have the qualification for an elder in 1 Timothy is one who can get to conduct his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity, where the household is in order. And that is a very big challenge to any of us who would desire to have responsibility in the things of God. It's a despised role in the world, as I said. Often the wife just takes over and the father's too busy with his work and just get on with everything, and the husband just comes home and sits down and wants to take it easy. But you know, the Bible gives us the father's role is very important. The wife certainly has a role, a very important role. And perhaps because that role is sort of automatically understood, that we have the instructions to fathers here. A wife has the quantity, and she sees the children, and there's a natural instinct to look after the children. And maybe there's more quality too. Indeed, I'm sure of that. But there is a position and a place for a father. And so the scripture tells us here, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So we're not doing this for ourselves, we're doing it for the Lord. Hebrews talks about fathers who punish their children for their pleasure. And it's not for our pleasure that we just get one over our children. We should do these things seriously and for the Lord. We have some examples. God loves us as a father. We have in Hebrews 12 where God is a father who chastens those He loves. We have Paul, who was as a mother, cherished his children. He cared for them in that way. So we have that caring thought that God has for us. What an example. We had that Christ loved the church. God is Father to us. How much he loves us and cares for us every day and gives us all those things that we need. He gives us that which is best. All things work together good to them that love God. We have to lead by example. We have many examples in the scriptures of fathers. Many of them are not good examples. We have Eli, who never told his sons off what they did. We have David, who didn't say yes or no to what his sons had to say. And we find that there are sons that followed an example, a bad example of their fathers. Kings, bad kings carried on. Our children know all about us. When we're at home, when the meeting, we can pretend. When we're at home, we can try to pretend, but our children pretty much know most there is about us, and so do our wives. It's a real challenge to us as to what our daily life is like. We have to lead by example. So we're to instill subjection. Coming back to children being obedient to our parents, we have to teach children to obey, to be in order. There's nothing worse than a child that's out of order, that doesn't know to obey at the right time. You know, when the child's about to run across the road and you have to grab his hand because it doesn't know to say, when you say stop. Well, they have to learn that. They have to learn that. We have to teach children so they may grow up to be responsible. And sometimes we have to carry out correction. You know, being a father is not an easy job, but it's a well worthwhile one. When you see your kids grow up to love you and to respect you, it is something tremendous. Whatever you give to them in terms of time and energy, in terms of difficult decisions, in terms of saying things to them that sometimes are not pleasant, easy, it is well worthwhile. Energy. We give. We submit. Christianity is about giving our time and energy to each other, and it pays dividends. Not only do we have to show what's wrong, but we have to show what's right. And to train not only in ordinary manners of life, but in those things which are really valuable in the Lord. We also are responsible to guard from evil influences. There are many influences that would come into our home, especially through the media, perhaps through friends. And we are responsible as fathers to set the rules as what happens in our household. And that is a very big responsibility that we must take before the Lord. And as fathers, we are to teach the things of the Lord. Just these verses in Deuteronomy, words were given to the children of Israel that they were commanded to teach diligently to their children, the fathers, to talk about when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You know the scripture well. We don't have to go through all those points. But as fathers, we are responsible to lay out the ground rules for how the word of God is taught in our homes. To make the time to sit together around the word and in prayer. These things are the father's responsibility. Maybe sometimes the wife has to carry these things out because the father's perhaps not there. But together, and that's my next subject, we can, under the father's direction, we can carry these things out. And it's the father's responsibility to make sure that those things are put in place and that the scriptures are taught and understood. But, of course, parents work together. And this is where, in a Christian family, we should have husbands and wives working together. It's most important that children understand that mum and dad both agree and that we both want their good and that we both want them to grow up in the things of the Lord. We are together in what we do. In the world, sadly, we see lots of arguments in front of the children about things that should never be discussed in front of our children. It must be together. And as I mentioned before, discipline must be consistent. We don't go to mum and ask for one, and when she says no, we go to dad. Sometimes mum says, well, ask dad, because dad has the ultimate responsibility. but we don't play one off against another. And in order that might be so, we as mums and dads, we have to have good communication. And we have to talk together and pray together and decide together how these practical things are going to be carried out, how discipline is going to be carried out, and when. Where there's a difficult situation comes up, something concerns us, we can communicate before the Lord and know how we can go on. And that is the father's responsibility to make sure those things happen, even though the mother may often have to carry them out. But you know, we also need to do things together as a family. We don't just shout at our children and say, you do this, you do that, and never have time for them, and never do things with them, and never show them we really love them. And that needs time and energy. And we do it together as a family. And that means that we need to be aware of what our children are doing, or dangers that they may be in. And I think it's important as families to have time together, usually perhaps meal times, where we sit together and we can discuss what the children have done at school or wherever they've been for the day. Where we can talk about different things that they would like or would like to do. And so that we can communicate together and share together what the issues are that we have to deal with, the questions that we have to go into. And share the load together. As husbands and wives, sometimes there are some really difficult situations, especially when children are very young, you know. Children are nice and sweet when they're all cuddly and lovely, but sometimes they can really take out of you. And you can get to the very bottom of your energy level. And you can do that together. That's why we have man and wife together. And most of all, perhaps we can pray together for wisdom and help in all these things. And also we can teach the truth together. Perhaps the wife has more time with the children, but we need to do it together. We need to share questions that they may have, answer questions that they have, give answers to our children from the Word of God for questions they may have together. And what a blessing it is to know a Christian family living under these principles. Well, we know I don't pretend to be the perfect father because my children know me. There's three of them are here today and they know all my faults and everything about me. And I don't pretend to be perfect, but they are the best kids in the world. And the Lord must have known that. That's why he gave me good kids. So much for kids. The world of work. We haven't got much time left, have we? But that was dearest on my heart. We also have to go to work. Some of us would love to be at home with our kids all day. And shortly we'll be on holiday and we'll be able to do that. But we have to go to work, and it's God's order that we work. And this is another sphere in which God gives us the opportunity to live out the truth of Ephesians in our work. And the way we live, in Timothy 1 Timothy 6, we have some instructions there about our living godly lives in this world and the way we react as servants and masters that it has an effect on our testimony and can cause the name of God to be blasphemed if we don't live up to the truth that we profess. Unto Christ, which our example, we know that he was the one who submitted to everything that his father told him to do. He lived here, that perfect life. He also submitted himself to his parents. He was subject unto them, it tells us in Luke chapter 2. And so we have before God to live in this world, not as that which man sees, but before what God sees. He sees everything. And there we had, before we had unto the Lord, here we have unto Christ, who is our example, unto Christ. And especially we'd like just to bring this thought out, unto Christ, who is our hope. We have unto Christ in verse 5, where we have servants. You know, Christ, he is the one, is God's man. Everything is under his control. God has decreed that he is the one who will, he's going to rectify everything. And if we live in our job and we have to suffer as Christians, maybe we lose some pay rise, maybe we lose some position, maybe life is quite difficult for us. But we know that when Christ comes, he knows all about that. He'll reward us for every step we've taken in his name. Everything we've lost for him will be rewarded. And how we can trust in him, one day we're going to be by his side. The fullness of him that fills all in all, first chapter tells us. So we can trust him for our daily lives at work when things sometimes are difficult. We can go through these things with him. Just briefly, masters, very similar thing. God is watching what we do. I've never been an employee, really. I've always been in the family firm, but I have known what it is to have employees and to seek to deal with them as a Christian should. And the world of work is very difficult. Simon was telling us about the world expects us to want more and more, to want to work longer hours, to want to get more income, to want to get progress in things in this world, to be promoted. But here we have, as work in our work life, to live out the fact that Christ is everything to us and he has a claim in our lives, and to seek to put him, his rights first. Just a couple of scriptures that came to me to finish off with. We have two very interesting scriptures. I read this one in Malachi 4. At the end of the Old Testament, it says, "He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." That is what God is about. That's what God wants. He doesn't want this disorder and this anger and this selfishness that the world is full of. He wants hearts in families to be at one. And what a wonderful thing. God is a God of harmony. What love he has shown to us. And we need to show that love in order that we may have hearts united together. And that's for the family. Then we find for the work relationship, we have an example in Philemon, where Paul says to Philemon about Onesimus, "Not now a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. How much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So there we have a master and a servant working together in harmony. This is God, how God would have it. But we have to work these things out in a world that doesn't appreciate the things of God, doesn't love him. But we can show that example of how Christ worked, how he lived, how he demonstrated the love of God in the situation where he was. And we can do this for his name's sake.